Well, obviously today is a Feast of Trumpets, so let's start off by laying a foundation. Let's go over to Leviticus 23 and read verses 1 and 2. And I always love this passage here as we start out on a holy day here. So Leviticus 23, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, The feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocation, these are my feasts. So, you know, these aren't my feasts, they're not your feasts, they are God's feasts. The Hebrew word here for feast is the Hebrew word moed, and it means appointment. So, you know, just like we'd make an appointment for the dentist or something, you know, we'd call, we'd make the appointment. Well, God already has these days set, so here they are, we're here. You know, we are fulfilling an appointment here with God. All right, let's drop down now for the Feast of Trumpet part here in verse 23 to 25. And it says, Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, and that's what the day is, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. So first of all, this is the first of the month. Notice it says Sabbath rest. The word rest is in italics, and it's been added, in other words. The Hebrew word here for Sabbath is sabbaton, and of course it means a Sabbath. The word memorial here, just like Memorial Day, you know, it's to be commemorated. We're to remember this Feast of Trumpets here. And then the word blowing. Now, keep something in mind, which is...
Bill, are you reading from a different translation?
This is the New King James.
New King James.
Yeah. The word talks about a memorial of blowing. The word trumpets is not in the original Hebrew. So it is a memorial blowing. Blowing what? Well, the word trumpets is supplied. But how else could we blow? Well, how about singing? We all can sing, right? And it takes air to be able to sing, right? How about shouting? You know, will we all shout at the resurrection? Yeah, you better believe it. You know, we're all going to be excited, aren't we? You know, hallelujah! You know, praise God! You know, I'm a spirit being now! You know, we're going to be really excited here, aren't we? Anyway, the Hebrew word for blowing is teruah, and it means a shout. It means an alarm, a joy. And then the word holy in this particular passage, it comes from the Hebrew word kodesh, and it means sacred or consecrated. And then the word convocation then is the Hebrew word mikra. And it means a public assembly or a rehearsal. So think about it. You know, what do we do at the Feast of Tabernacles? Don't we rehearse the millennium? So these holy days, you know, these are rehearsals for things that are going to come in the future here. Okay, let's turn over to Joel 2, and we'll read 1 to 5. And this is about the shofar. This is why I picked this scripture here. So Joel 2... in the Minor Prophets, right after Hosea. So Joel 2. And I'm going to wake you up here in a minute. Okay, Joel 2. And it says, Blow the shofar in Zion. Audio. Okay. So blow the trumpet, blow the shofar in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. For it is at hand, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. A people come, great and strong, the like of whom has never been, nor will there ever be any such after them, even for many successive generations. Verse 3, a fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is like the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Surely nothing shall escape them. Their appearance is like the appearance of horses, and like swift steeds so they run, with noise like chariots. Over the mountaintops they leap, like the noise of a flaming fire that devours the stubble, like a strong people set in battle array. So it's a scary thing, isn't it, as we read through here? But anyway, the sound of the shofar, you know, it's a loud noise. It's noise. It's not really music, but it is noise. So it's something that wants to wake you up in a sense. Okay, today I want to focus in on trumpets in the Bible. So I want to go over to Revelation now, and we're going to read through some passages here pertaining to the trumps and so on. And again, just as a reminder, it's probably something we don't do very often, but maybe it's a little reminder, you might say, a memorial here that we're going through. And we want to find out just a little bit more about these items. So Gary Evans mentioned earlier about the lighting. It isn't very good up here, Gary. Okay, we're going to go to Revelation 6 and just touch on a few things here, and then I'll be concentrating more on the seven trumps here. Anyway, in chapter 6, we deal with the seven seals. And the first seal here, it says, deals with a conqueror, meaning false religion. In verse 3, we're talking about the second seal here. It's conflict on the earth is what my Bible says. It's talking about war. And then we go to the third seal in verse 5 here, and this is about famine. Then we go to the fourth seal in verse 7. It talks about pestilence. Then we go to verse 9. It talks about the fifth seal, which is about the martyrdom here and so on. This is the great tribulation. Then over in verse 6, we go into the heavenly signs. And that's verse 12 there, which is number 6 here. Then we come down to chapter 7 here, and this is where we're going to be getting into the seals here. These are 144,000 who are sealed, and I believe this is what Christ is going to be beginning with when he returns. There's going to be 12,000 from each of the tribes of Israel. Okay, now let's go over to chapter 8 now, and this is where we're going to be getting into the trumpet plagues and so on. So chapter 8, verse 1. When he opened the seventh seal, now keep in mind the seventh seal is composed of seven trumps, and then the seventh trump is composed of the seven last plagues, so that's sort of how it's broken down. Okay, so we're in chapter 8, verse 1 here. When he opened the seventh seal, there was a silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar, and he was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. Verse 4. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with the fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings and a great earthquake. So the seven angels who had seven trumpets prepared themselves to blow. Now here's a little question. How did they prepare themselves to blow? Well, just like when I picked up the shofar, I went, I took a deep breath, didn't I? So that's probably what they're doing here. They're taking a deep breath. They're getting ready here to do something here, to sound these trumpets. All right, now then, verse 7. This is the first trumpet. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood. And they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. Now, we think some forest fires around here are bad, you know, out in California, around here, whatever, you smell it in the air. But to think a third is going to be burned up. Now, verse 8, the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. Again, a tremendous amount of water here becoming blood here. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Amazing, the destruction here is going on, and we're just getting started. Okay, verse 10 here. The third angel sounded, and a great star from heaven fell, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. And the name of the star was Wormwood, and a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it became bitter. So who knows, this might be missiles with chemical warfare or something in it. Okay, verse 12. Here's the fourth angel that sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened, and a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. Now it's possible with all this debris in the air, maybe it filtered, you know, in the atmosphere, and you just couldn't see. You know, it became dark that way. Or it could be another something else, but that's be maybe a physical reason for it. Okay, verse 13. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who were about to sound." So they were being prepared. You know, they're waiting. They got their lungs full here or there. All right, chapter 9, verse 1 now. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star falling from heaven to the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now this is a special star, because this is Lucifer. This is Satan the devil here, as we'll find out here in a minute. Verse 2. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit, like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Verse 3. Then out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth. Now, so this might be military, you know, helicopters, airplanes, who knows. And to them was given power, as scorpions of the earth have power. Verse 4. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth. Now this is interesting. Here's all this destruction going on, all this firepower they have. But they are not to harm the grass of the earth, or any green thing, or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months, and their torment was like the torment of scorpions when it strikes a man. I know in times past I've always had the feeling that the church sort of implied, and maybe they didn't say it, but maybe they implied, that all these things happen in one day on the Feast of Trumpets. I don't think so, because there's too much to happen. And this right here says it took 5 months. So, and we'll see that it's also repeated here in a minute here. So here's this one trumpet that's going to take 5 months for it to be fulfilled. Now in verse 6 then, in those days men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. And the shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle, and on their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lions' teeth. Verse 9. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running to battle. Have you ever seen one of these big helicopters? I was trying to think what they're, Black Hawk, I think they call them. But some of these helicopters that they used maybe in Vietnam and what they use now. And I remember, you know, just the sound of them is horrendous. But I remember in the Iraq War, they had one of these gunships, one of these big helicopters, and amazing the amount of firepower that they had shooting out of these things as they swept through. So maybe it's something like this that we're reading about here. Verse 10. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he was the name Apollyon. So this is probably Satan the devil, Lucifer. Verse 12, one woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. All right, now we go to verse 13. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, or the shofar maybe, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour, the day, the month, and the year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now I think this is referring to a one-hour nuclear war. That's my personal speculation here. But anyway, if you had more than an hour, all life would be destroyed, but I think it'll be cut off after an hour. They said, that's my personal opinion. All right, verse 16. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million, and I heard the number of them. Now, the church has always sort of speculated, this is China and perhaps India and some other countries, but imagine this. What would it take to support an army of 200 million people? Well, look at China today. Who are we getting our money from? They are an economic powerhouse right now. You know, it takes money to be able to support an army, doesn't it? Think about their clothing. Think about their food. Think about their weapons. Think about their military hardware, their planes and missiles and this and that and the other. It would take a tremendous amount of money. And China is at that point. They're getting that point anyway of being an economic giant. And a few years ago, you know, that wasn't true. They were more like a third world country, but they've sure come out around. Okay, verse 17. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, sulfur yellow, and the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouth came fire, smoke, and brimstone. Verse 18, by these three plagues a third of mankind was killed. So we're seeing all kind of mankind being killed here. And remember, by the time we get down to the end when Christ returns, only about 10% of man still living. So by these three plagues, the third of mankind was killed by the fire, by the smoke, and the brimstone, which came out of their mouths. Verse 19, for their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents, having heads, and with them they do harm. But the rest of mankind, who were not killed by the plagues, did not repent. Now, can you imagine that? Let's ponder that for a moment. Think about all the horrendous things that's going on here with all the war and the destruction, the trees being burned and the water turning to blood and everything. And they didn't repent. Now, you'd think they'd be down on their knees, wouldn't you, begging, God, have mercy on us here. But it says it. Now, and notice, it'll repeat itself here in just a minute. They did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can never see nor hear nor walk. Now, verse 21. And they did not repent of their murders, of their sorceries, of their sexual immorality, or their thefts. Again, amazing. God repeats it for emphasis, doesn't he? All right, now, chapter 10. And I saw still another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. And he had a little book open in his hand, and he set it in right foot, and he set his right foot in the sea, and the left foot on the land, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. Now this is probably Jesus. You know, Jesus is the Lion of Judah. And when he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write. But I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered, and do not write them. Well, that's interesting. What were they going to write down? I'd like to know. You know, I mean, everything else is described here. Why didn't God want him to reveal that to us? Why not? I wonder why he didn't. All right, verse 5. And the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land lifted up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, and the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, that they should delay no longer. Now, verse 7 here. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he declared to his servants the prophets. All right, now the next part here goes into about John eating this little book, and then chapter 11 goes into the two witnesses. Now we want to pick it up over here in Revelation 11, verses 14 and 15. So Revelation 11, 14. The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. And then here it is. Here's what we're waiting on. Here's the last trump here. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. And that's what we're waiting on, isn't it? That's what we're waiting on. Okay, let's go over to Matthew 24 here for another scripture here. Matthew 24. This is the Olivet Prophecy. Matthew 24, verses 30 and 31. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And He will send His angels with the sound of a great trumpet, with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So Jesus, in all that prophecy, talked about His return. In conclusion, the Feast of Trumpets is an annual Sabbath. It is a memorial of the blowing of the shofar or trumpets. It is a very solemn occasion. The seven trumpets of the book of Revelation pictures God's judgment upon mankind who will not repent. The seventh trump pictures Christ's return, and He will judge the saints. Let's you and me take the time to repent. Let's put forth the effort to repent and live a righteous life. When we stand before Jesus on our judgment day, we should desire to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. So, again, remember, that sound we want to hear right before we're resurrected and so on, the great sound of the trumpet here. I've tooted my own horn.
You gotta get a strong out, Bill.
Nothing.